With us this evening is Marvin Davis, a la Lady Victoria Lust. And as we neared the holiday season, one of the things we thought about was that everybody's sort of out in a rush to buy presents and do this type of stuff. But there's a whole other side of things that you can do for yourself or the community or a friend or something else. And there's probably not a better person.
Or for me.
For you? No. There's probably not a better person in this community known for the things they do and for the community is Marvin Davis. Marvin, you've been here for, you said 13 years, 14 years?
14.
14 years.
Got here in 1980.
I've been
right when the boom was starting.
Yeah, and I got here, yes, I got here a year later and the boom was starting to go down.
Yeah, I got here just for the last of it, the tail end.
The Boomtown Boogie.
But when you got here, Did you come here for a, did you have a job offer? Why did you?
Okay, I had a friend who lived here, and at that time I was working in North Carolina. I was working for a hotel chain in hotel management, and I came to Houston for a visit. I fell in love with it.
Really?
So, the company I worked for happened to have a property here, and I said, as soon as they have an opening, I want it. So they finally transferred me down. It took me about 9 months to get an appropriate opening. So I moved to Houston.
Were you involved in the community in North Carolina?
There was not a community in North Carolina. There was Jesse Helms in North Carolina and still is. There was not much going on in North Carolina. There were a couple, I think in the state, there were about 3 bars at that time in various cities. So there wasn't much going on.
No wonder you like Houston so much.
Yeah, Well, my first real involvement in the gay activist community was when I was living in Chicago, back around the time of Stonewall and shortly after. So I had been used to a big city, but job-wise, career-wise, it was more appropriate for me to go other places. But then I went, no, I got to get back to some place where there's reality.
Did you do drag in Chicago?
Yes, I started in Chicago about 26 years ago and performed up until about the latter part of the 70s. Disco became popular, comedy became unpopular, so I retired.
You mean you weren't one of those people that was singing I Will Survive?
Not seriously.
What
I might do it as comedy. I was not a disco darling.
In a performance, Lady Victoria Lust, was that your stage name then, too?
That's your... Ever since I first started doing
persona,
drag.
Who's a lovely lady, by the way. and sometimes I get kind of startled when I see Marvin as Marvin and then see him once again as Lady Victoria. And in that persona, you have done many benefits. I mean, thousands of benefits and fundraisers for the community. You were recently honored with a roast. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, well, it was a lot of fun. In the first part of November, several people in the community said, we want to roast you. And I went, oh, how wonderful. Just what I need. Well, it was not a roast. It was not a toast. It was a barbecue. They put me on the spit and literally barbecued me with extra sauce. A lot of the old-time drag queens, community activists, various
Miss
and sundry
Camp
people.
America,
Miss Camp America was involved. The leather community, a number of the bars. And they put me on the rail, rode me down, and I said, oh, how wonderful. Sitting here, getting tarred and feathered, and then put on a barbecue. It's so nice. Not only am I roasted, but I smell the feathers burning. I've always been known for my feathers. But it was a lot of fun. And
in good spirit.
Yeah, it was in good spirit. And we raised a lot of money.
Yeah,
that's
important
the main thing.
Yeah. And you said in looking back that there was a time when people, if someone had told you, okay, Marvin, this is going to happen to you, and this is going to happen to you, and this is going to happen to you, you would have never believed it. One of the things was there was actually a Lady Victoria Lust Day in the city of Houston proclaimed by the mayor.
by Mayor Whitmire. That was on the 5th anniversary of the Lady Victoria Lust PWA Holiday Fund, PWA Christmas benefit. And since then, I've gotten citations from the governor, Mayor Lanier, city council. And who would have ever thought, you know, that you'd ever have a drag queen that's not recognized as Marvin Davis, but is recognized as Lady Victoria Lust in that way.
But that's not what you do all this stuff for. Tell us what you actually have a foundation set up.
Okay, I have sheltered under the Colt 45s what's called the Lady Victoria Lust PWA Holiday Fund. A number of years ago, my mother passed away, and that was the last living member of my family. So the holidays are hard for me. But I was thinking, well, gosh, I've got a good job. I've got my health. What's it like for somebody who's trying to live and deal with HIV and AIDS, who maybe their family's living, but they've lost their family because their family deserted them? Maybe they're indigent, or maybe they're sick. And you come up to Christmas, and everything is home, but they won't let me come home. You know, different things like that. So I started with what was called PWA Christmas. That was 8 years ago. The first year, we managed to raise enough money to send out a Christmas card with a little bit of cash to about 40 people who were, you know, getting assistance from some other agency for, like, rent. So these were the ones that are indigent.
When you say we, you're talking about the Colt 45s?
The Colt 45s,
and
myself,
foundation.
And the people that work with me.
Tell us who the Colt 45s are.
Okay, the Colt 45s of Houston started out many years ago as a cowboy social club, basically. They used to have different functions, and they found out, oh, well, we've got some money left over, so let's give it to a charity. Well, back in the early days, in the mid-70s, it might be Ronald McDonald House, it might be, you know, some other type of charity. Then we started getting things like the Montrose Clinic, the Montrose Counseling Center, so they started doing that. And then AIDS came along.
Right.
And another one of those things we never would have thought would ever hit us. But it did. And they responded by developing from a social organization to a charity organization.
And a service organization.
Right. They house what's called the PWA Trouble Fund, which helps pay rent, utilities, and those sort of needs for people that are, for instance, you get to a point where you're disabled. Then you have to apply for Social Security. It takes you about 6 months usually to get it. So there's no income for 6 months. So they help out with temporary relief in that way. They have the Stone Soup Fund, which provides assistance to Stone Soup Food Pantry in that they buy the fresh vegetables every month. They buy the meat that's given out, and in emergency situations help restock the shelves if
And what type of overhead is there in this organization?
It's strictly a volunteer organization. Any monies given to the Colt 45s or any organization sheltered under the Colt 45s, such as myself, if it is earmarked for a fund, it goes into that fund, and those monies can only be used for charitable purposes. Now, the Colts themselves and those of us who work with them, we have bake sales and car washes and things like that.
I was just going to ask that. How do you come up with the money?
To make the working, what we call the working fund, which pays for the phone, the office supplies, the computer paper, and it ends up between all of the agencies involved under the Colts, with the Colts. We're talking about distributing $150,000 a year.
Wow.
With all volunteer, nothing's taken out of anything that anybody gives and designates for a fund.
Mm-hmm. I was real impressed when I heard about this. When you do drag and you have these beautiful gowns and this elaborate makeup and wigs and all that, I don't know. I somehow assumed that people took the money that came in for shows and they used it to pay for the costumes, etc., and then whatever was left over. But that's not the way it is it?
No.
What happens is the people actually take it out
of
pocket
and
or
that's,
raise.
That's our hobby. And it's not a cheap hobby.
No.
One wig, about $50, then $20 more to have it styled. It lasts about 3 performances. So $20 more to have it restyled. When you're as big as I am, dresses aren't cheap.
I think I could lend you some.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, we could trade off. Fortunately, I sew.
That is fortunate. I don't.
My background in college, when I did my graduate work, is in costume and makeup design.
Wow.
So that's where I kind of had the gearing toward all of this. Now, at one time, I made my living doing this. But that was back in the late 60s, early 70s. Then when AIDS came along, a lot of us just gave up doing any type of paid show, and we give all of our time to charity. Because somehow in this community, we make money. People enjoy shows, they'll come, they'll tip, and so every dollar that the audience gives goes to the charity, not to anybody involved with it.
Well, do you have anything coming up that we need to let folks know about, any benefits or fundraisers?
You just basically finished your...
I finished up my year the first Sunday in December, and that seemed kind of early for Christmas, but you have to get everything out to the people.
So, yeah,
you've
got to
get the money
now?
Cleared. Okay, so right now what I'm doing is I just made and filled 200 Christmas stockings for the children infected or affected with HIV at Texas Children's Hospital. I'm working with the National Leather Association next week, and we're taking to Casa de Esperanza for the children. I'm in the process now of mailing out $20 checks to indigent persons with HIV and AIDS. And on top of that, we'll be going out on Christmas Eve to the hospitals, taking Christmas stockings with candy and little goodies and toothpaste and toothbrushes and soap and some deodorant and, you know, little hand wipes and things like that you may need in the hospital, but the hospital charges you an arm and leg for them.
When you work so hard doing this stuff and gathering up and working and giving this stuff out, how does it feel when you sometimes feel that the federal government is just totally neglecting us or not?
If anybody... Now, you made me sign this statement that I wouldn't say anything nasty on here.
Use
I won't.
Words.
I'll use the nice words. Oftentimes when I'm doing a show, I don't use nice language because I'm very disappointed in that during the day I work for the City of Houston Health Department doing HIV counseling and testing. I'm seeing more and more young, heterosexual, non-IV drug using, non-prostituting women becoming infected with HIV. It never has been and never will be a gay disease. But it's been stigmatized, and therefore, unfortunately, it's left it to our gay and lesbian community to fund the entire health care. The government will spend for prevention, they'll spend for research, but they won't spend much for taking care of people. Then you also get into the bureaucratic system of government where, with what little they're doing with Ryan White funds, you've got people falling through the cracks every time you turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's left it to this community
what
to kind of pick
the,
up for all that. And
home,
we have.
The home testing. Do you think that's a good idea?
No, I do not.
Mm. We probably should... have a big conversation about that with other folks from the health department, but if there's something in particular you'd like to say about it.
This is personally my feeling is when I tell somebody that they are HIV infected, they do not need to be looking at a little color screen or something and have no support around them. This thing will affect different people in different ways. Some people go, okay, well, I sort of thought, you know. And then you have some of them going, but not me. I could never get that. Mm. And they're, you know, it may take me 30 minutes to get them out of crying and out of hysterics. Well, if they're home by themselves, uh-oh.
Yeah.
No, I think they need to be someplace where they're involved in a situation with their, where there are trained professionals and even preferably medical facilities.
Mm-hmm.
But if they pass out,
yeah,
you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Getting back to the idea of holiday gift giving and the spirit of the holidays, you're going around and you're doing all this work. What does it mean for you personally when you give maybe those kids at the hospital something and
yeah.
and see their face? What?
Yeah. It's wonderful. It does as much for me as it does for them. I firmly believe that. That in giving, in caring, in loving, it all comes right back to you. When you talk to somebody or they send you a letter or a little note saying, oh, I was able to do this, or I was able to send a Christmas card to my mother because I got your check in the mail, or I needed a new set of pajamas and I was tired of going out and getting hand-me-downs. You know, little things like that. They make it all worthwhile.
So it's worth all that hard
work. It gives as much to me.
Do.
It's I'm giving myself a present every day of the year when I do this.
If somebody out there is listening and wants to get involved, how can they get a hold of you?
Okay. The best thing to do would be send a note to the LVL PWA Holiday Fund, care of the Brazos River Bottom. The cold offices are upstairs at the Brazos, the BRB 2400 Brazos.
That's
and that way it'll get to me.
That's Houston 77006.
Right.
And money is always good, but there are other ways people can be involved.
But a lot of us, and a lot of the people that are involved in raising all this money, are people who are living with HIV, are living with full-blown AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not have the financial resources, but they give their time, they give their talent, they give their love. There's 100 or more different agencies in Houston that need volunteers. And volunteering doesn't necessarily mean that, oh gosh, I've got to commit myself to every Saturday, 8 hours.
No, just every Friday.
There's a lot of things that can be done. Maybe somebody, or maybe it's a personal thing, where you know somebody. Okay, go offer to take them to the grocery store. Take them out for a drive. Do any little thing that helps somebody else, and it all comes back to you.
Marvin, I want to thank you very much for all your work.
Well, thank
and,
you, Jeff.
I know I've yep. worked with you in the past in certain things in the community, but you're doing some very special work. And you've got a lot of other people that help you out, too.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, because this is becoming such a problem of magnitude, if everybody would just find one little way they can help, if it's walking a pet, helping somebody, volunteering, anything, an hour a week, an hour a month, if everybody'd help, it'd make it so much easier for all those people out there.
Thank Marvin. You for being with us, Marvin Davis, and for all the work that you do in the community.
A.K.A. Lady Victoria Lust.
Yes, Lady Victoria Lust. I love that name. And as a tribute to Marvin and all the drag queens out there,